Hare Krishna. Happy Radhastami to everyone. I want to first of all thank the devotees who somehow or another they made a mistake by appointing me to give a class here. But they're encouraging me to get purified. I hope with the blessings of everybody, especially the senior devotees, Prabhupada disciples, male and female, my peers and my junior, please bless me that you make my lips vibrate something in connotation with today's event. So please bless me. So today I chose a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is quite an interesting one. It is actually from the Madhya Lila, chapter 8, and it's the encounter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Ramananda Roy. You may wonder what it's got to do with Radharani, this verse, but we will unveil the meaning of this verse shortly. So this is Madhya Lila, chapter 8, and it's text 16. Translation, without purport, by His Divine Grace, Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that the person who had come to bathe in the river was Ramananda Roy. The Lord wanted so much to meet him that his mind immediately began running after him. Please forgive me for not for commenting on this without any purport. This is very interesting passage of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is the heart of all the Vedic literature because it has the goal of life. It is the essence of spiritual life. So Srila Prabhupada, if you read, you know, the 8th chapter of the Madhya Lila, Srila Prabhupada is very rarely makes any comment or purport, because it's very difficult to talk on this subject, on Srimati Radharani. So you may ask in your mind, so what are you doing there trying to talk about her? But I will explain. I'm simply making an attempt here to follow the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his legacy, the mood of humility. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but still, he's running after his servant. Why? Why is he running mentally after Ramananda Roy? But not just running after him, but approaching him in a very humble mood. Because he wants something from him. Ramananda Roy has a treasure, which we'll explain a little bit later on. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wants it. So, as Shruti Dharma Prabhu explained this morning in the reading of the passage of Srila Prabhupada about Srimati Radharani, that it's very difficult to talk about her, to approach her directly, difficult to serve Krishna directly without understanding Srimati Radharani. So I thought that in order to understand Srimati Radharani, one has to understand the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And not only that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his bhava as a devotee, not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he put on the suit of a devotee here, and he became so humble. When he approached the Ramananda Roy, he didn't go to him with the mood of Radha or with the mood of Krishna. Even though these two personalities, they reside in the same body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eternally. And eternally there is this sentiment of Sambhoga and Vipralamba. Even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has Radharani very close to him, but he's feeling the separation of Radharani here. And even though sometimes he has the mood of Radharani, and she has Krishna in her heart, but still she feels separation from him. So this is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here. He's approaching Ramananda Roy, you know, in a very humble way, and he says, "I am a Mayavadi sannyasi, and I do not know nothing about Radha and Krishna. Please instruct me. Give me some information about the goal of life." So Ramananda Roy, who is a non-different from Vishakha, she knows everything about Radharani, Vishakha, one of the topmost gopi friends of Radharani. But Ramananda Roy, he also was challenged by the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be very humble, and he also replied in a very humble way. Was when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from South India, he bathed in this river, Godavari, and he could recognize his eternal servant, Ramananda Roy, and he approached him. The mind of Mahaprabhu was running after him. So he could see that Krishna is actually wanting something from this person. And Ramananda Roy, when Lord Chaitanya said, "Are you Ramananda Roy?" And Ramananda Roy replied, "Yes, my lord." And immediately he recognized that Lord Chaitanya is actually non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what did he say? Ramananda Roy said, "Yes, I'm the Ramananda Roy belonging to the Sudra community." You know, usually when we hand in a CV for a job or something, we always portray the best of us, isn't it? When we present ourselves in the social convention, "Oh, this is such and such, and he's got a PhD on something, and that person, you know, he's a spiritual master of the society of ISKCON." You know, we bring out the best of that person's reputation. But you could see that Ramananda Roy here, immediately, he says, I belong to a Sudra community. Lord Chaitanya was very impressed. So there was a competition of humility. And that's how we can attain the darshan of Srimati Radharani. When we approach each other with the mood, "I am less than you and you are better than me," and vice versa. Here the Supreme Personality of Godhead is putting a blade of grass in his mouth and he's saying, "You know, I'm a Mayavadi sannyasi. Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya told me that I don't know nothing about Radha and Krishna. He told me to come to you because you are expert into the topics of Srimati Radharani. So I chose this verse because this verse, for those of you know, is the the famous meeting when Ramananda Roy was asked by Mahaprabhu, what is the goal of life? And he wanted to bring him to the revelation of this treasure that he had in his heart. Because Ramananda Roy is always meditating on Srimati Radharani. She's a Vishakha. Vishakha is always in the mood of serving Srimati Radharani. So Lord Chaitanya, he knew how to approach this gopi. So you could see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just because he's God, doesn't mean that he comes and he boasts himself as the Supreme Lord. You can see that there are two instances where Lord Krishna becomes manifest in the mood of Lord Chaitanya. One was in the early stage of his life. As a young grihastha, Lord Chaitanya was teaching his pupils on the Vedic grammar, and he was a teacher. And the mood of Krishna came out, gopi, gopi, gopi. And the pupils, you know, they thought he was a madman, and they criticized him, and Lord Chaitanya was chasing them with a stick, so you know the pastime. and then, after that, Lord Chaitanya always displayed the mood of Srimati Radharani. Always searching for Krishna. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate. Always in separation of Krishna. But this is the only instance here, after the Radha Bhava mood, that he behaves as, he displays the mood of Krishna. So he's wandering from Ramananda Roy. You have the goal of life, you have this treasure, please give it to me. But he approached him in a very humble way. So the Krishna consciousness, it's very mysterious. To understand the tattva, the goal of life, to advance spiritually, one has to be humble. One time, I asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj, what is the mood of getting the mercy of Srimati Radharani? It was the first time I went to Vrindavan, 87. And I was expecting very, so he was thinking about it. I was expecting very philosophical answer, you know, that he would tell me to read or to pray like this, or read something from, or to do some tapasya or some yagya or something. But actually, two words. He said, to enter Vrindavan and get the mercy of Radharani, you have to see yourself less than everyone else, and everyone else more than you. So it made me understand that to enter Vrindavan, it's very difficult if we are identified with all our prestige and pride, designation, whatever we have. Those are fallible assets, whatever we have, power, fame, beauty. To enter Vrindavana, we have to actually take off all these suits. Take off the suit as a master and enter as a servant. Like we read this morning, Shruti Dharma Prabhu read that even Srimati Radharani herself, even though she is the object of this topic today, the ultimate embodiment of devotion, but she is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when she sees someone with a devotion or trying to please another devotee or please Krishna or please her, then immediately she says, oh, that devotee is better than me. Isn't that? We read this morning, Mangal Arati. That's the mood of Srimati Radharani. And it's not, she doesn't pretend to be humble. That's the way it is. More humble you are and more higher, more longer way you go towards the absolute truth. So I told, you know, maybe some people, they asked me, some devotees, are you going to talk about Leela, about Tattva? Are you going to talk? I said, no, I'm going to talk about how to follow the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the best mood, how to understand the personality of Srimati Radharani. By following the query, the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as we know that God, it's in our philosophy, is not male or female, but at the same time is both. Actually, we are the only religion that we worship a Supreme Personality of Godhead as a female. Because the Jewish, I don't think they have a God as the ultimate male, and even in the Islamic philosophy, Allah is the masculine figure. One time I was traveling to, I can't remember if he was on the plane or if he was on a train, but it was a long time ago, and there was a gentleman, Muslim, very nice gentleman, and he was on a business trip to India, to Calcutta. I think it was in the train, Rajdhani. And and I asked, we made acquaintance, and I asked him about his life, you know, what he does, and he asked me about my life, what I do, which religion I belong to, and so we had a friendly chat. And I asked him, are you married? He said, yes, I have two wives, lives in polygamy. And he was telling me the way he lives with his wives. And then after some time, we start to speak about who do you worship. And I said, so the question came to my mind. I said, does Allah have a wife? I asked him, the Supreme Lord, Allah, does he have a wife? Does he have a consort? He said, no, no, brother. You cannot think like that. You cannot speak like that. This is blasphemy. You know, I said, you have two wives, and why you cannot just have one wife? You know, God, you know, I mean, he created all the virgin, isn't it, in your philosophy? And I said, he's so powerful. Can he create a female part of himself that he can keep just for himself? He said, no, no, no. Allah is not debauchee. He cannot associate with women. He's very pure. But then he asked me, you know, what is your God? How many wives your God is God? So I said, I only ask one, because otherwise he would have become jealous if I say 16,000. Anyway, it was the end of the conversation, because it's when you find the people like that, that's it. No more talking. It's a cul-de-sac. You don't go anywhere. So it made me thinking, you know, that even in the Christian philosophy, they have this idea of God being masculine, even down to the, you know, the Pope can only be a male, it cannot be woman. Even about Jesus, you know, having, if he has a wife or not, is disputable, and they cannot accept it. God, he must be pure. We are allowed to do all the nonsense, but not God. This is the mentality of many religions. But I'm actually very happy that God is female, because I feel the shelter of a mother just like a mother forgives, forget all the naughtiness of the child, is more merciful than the father. So it's such a complete and inclusive philosophy, isn't it? To have this principle, supreme principle, as Radharani, as the supreme personality of Godhead. It's the women, you know, they feel more comfortable like that because it includes, you know, an extra agenda for gender, for the supreme personality of Godhead. So who is Srimati Radharani? Of course, later on, Ramananda Roy explains that she represents the happiness of Krishna. She represents the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the internal potency of the Lord. There is another name of Krishna, which is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Is it actually there in the 8th chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita? And it's very interesting. This name, it's attribute to Krishna before he expand himself as Balaram, as all the Vishnu Tattva, as a Srimati Radharani, but is the original Shyama Sundara. As we know, the origin of everything, it's one personality, and we know him as Shyama Sundara. But within him, there is this female principle eternally residing in this Shyama Sundara. And Akhila Rasamrita Murti means that person, that particular Krishna, the origin of all the other expansions, he's very attractive to everybody. And Srila Prabhupada explains, especially including himself, he's very attractive to himself. Now, it made me thinking, why? You know, we've seen the picture of God seeing the reflection of himself on the marble. Isn't there? I think there is a picture. And then he says, oh, wonderful. And he looks at himself. He becomes overwhelmed by his beauty. Why? Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Because he sees that principle within himself. He's attracted not by himself, but actually by Radharani within himself. Sorry, do you understand what I... Similarly, I can understand now when we worship Lord Krishna of Radha and Krishna, when we advance spiritually, this principle of bhakti, devotion, the degree that becomes manifest in us, that degree Krishna is attracted to us. So, because we are part and parcel of the Ladini Shakti, Radharani's, we are made out of her genes, devotional genes. We are made out of this female energy, and that's why all the other living entities, the marginal. The jivas, they're all the goal of their lives is actually to join the devotional service together with Srimati Radharani and present it to Krishna. That's the business of all the gopis, the manjaris, and all the incarnations of Krishna. So it is wonderful to know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's also female. just like she is the happiness of Krishna, is described by Jayadeva Goswami in the Gita Govinda, one of the poems of Jayadeva Goswami, that he mentions that just like Baladev represents the power of Krishna. When he wrote the Dasya Avatar, you know, the prayers, the 10 avatar. And he describes who they are, who they represent. Baladeva represents the power of Krishna. Nisshingadeva represents the anger of Krishna. Buddha represents the intelligence of Krishna. Lord Ram represents the moral conduct of Krishna. Vamana represents the celibacy of Krishna. Radharani represents the happiness of Krishna. Now, if you have all these opulence, power, beauty, whatever, fame, but if you have everything but you don't have happiness, then still you are a miserable man, isn't it? Depressed. I mean, this is the behavior, human behavior. Someone has it all. I meet so many wealthy people sometimes, but still they are miserable. And I say, why? You got everything. They say, because I'm not happy. So you could see that happiness within ourselves is more important than everything else that we have. So similarly, Krishna, he considers his happiness more important than his opulence, all the other opulences. And that's why Srimati Radharani is the most dear to him, because she represents the internal pleasure potency of Krishna. And that is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes becomes a madman, because he feels that this happiness is gone away from him. Even though the Sambhoga is always there in the within Krishna. Krishna can never depart himself from Radharani. It's a part of him. And Radharani can never depart herself from Krishna. Because you're talking about the same person. But sometimes, for pastimes, when she comes out, expand herself, she appears to go away from Krishna, and Krishna becomes mad after her. You could see here, Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Krishna, is running after Ramananda Roya with his mind, because he wants that treasure, belongs to him, Radharani. So, when people, they criticize us, your God has so many affairs, and it lives in adultery. I remember I spoke to a priest in my town. I've been cultivating a priest. He was a friend of mine before he became priest. So he wanted to know more and more about the philosophy, what we believe, what my God does and everything. So then one time I gave him a Krishna book, which I made a mistake, you know, but I should have given him the higher taste, maybe. So he was reading, but there was a lot of things that he couldn't digest, you know, in the book, because if he's God, why he messes around with other people's wives? So I had to sit down. I said, okay, I also had the same problem like yours when I first became a monk. And I read a Krishna book, and every time I would come to this passage of Krishna wanting to associate with other people's wife, I used to always scratch my head. Is this the God, you know, I want to dedicate my life to? So, but then by reading the Krishna book very nicely, all of it, twice I had to read it. And Srila Prabhupada is so expert. He explained very nicely how that God, his behavior is pure and he's not committing any adultery. Because the Acharya also, they explain that Srimati Radharani, being the internal potency of the Lord, she can only be touched by Krishna and not by any other man. So who is this Abhimanyu? The so-called husband of Srimati Radharani. Who is he? Okay, that's the question I'm asking to the audience. I'm sure many of you know. who is a, what is the meaning of Abhimanyu? Abhi means to, or both, and Manyu means a man. It's a man and it's something else. What is it? Yes. Yes, the shadow of Krishna. But actually, he's a Krishna himself. It's a man and he's a god at the same time. That's the meaning of Abhimanyu. It's all described there in the Krishna book. So, for Krishna to associate with Srimati Radharani is not an adultery. Abhimanyu, it's actually... and also for this Abhimanyu to being married to the consort of Krishna is not an adultery also, because this Abhimanyu is Krishna himself. It's described that even the cowboy that they stole the queens of Dwaraka after Krishna left the planet, it's all there in Krishna book. So they kidnapped the queens of Dwaraka and they defeated Arjuna. Who were these cowboys? They were Krishna himself. And all the gopas, the so-called husbands of the gopis, they are all Krishna's expansions. It's all there described in the Krishna book. So therefore, for Krishna to associate with somebody else's, so-called somebody else's wife, somebody else's husband, it's not an adultery, it's not a sacrilege. He is free to do so because he already has Radharani within himself in a very intimate way. So it is his private life, private business. When it comes to Srimati Radharani, it is between them, between Radha and Krishna. And we cannot cast out any judgment. So this is the situation. Just a little glimpse of who is Srimati Radharani. One thing she's very fond of is the selfless service to the devotees. When we, not just when we serve Krishna, but even more than that, when we serve the living entities, other devotees, Jiva Doya, she's this principle of Jiva Doya, it's actually from Srimati Radharani. It is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in this chapter, that Srimati Radharani eternally, every day she takes a bath three times a day. And the first bath that she takes in the morning, it's in what? Does any of you remember? Every morning she takes a bath in one very beautiful principle, which is snana karunika. She takes bath into the compassion, the lake of compassion and mercy. And that's how the earth becomes purified and imbued by compassion and mercy. So when you see other living entities imbibing this quality, it's actually from her. And in midday, she takes bath into the lake of youth. That's what Ramananda Roy explains. The youth that it's very very attractive youth, that so young that even at the Manjari, he explained that the Manjaris, they are younger in age than the gopis, younger than Srimati Radharani. But the Manjaris, they become attracted by the youth of Srimati Radharani. They see Radharani more youthful than them. So you can understand, even though she's teenage, associating with Krishna, the Manjari, they see her as younger than them. And the Manjaris, they're very pure. They, like, you know, when you compare the rose and the bud is like a, it's not fully blossomed. So the Manjaris, they're very like Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswamis. They're always serving, always attracted by Radharani and serving her. The Manjaris, they say, the Acharya explains, they're not even interested in Krishna. They don't even like to be touched by Krishna. How pure they are. Of course, even if they are touched by Krishna, it's not that it's going to contaminate them. But you could see that it's a selfless concentration towards Srimati Radharani only, not even Krishna. That's why Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, they were always He Radhe Brajate Vrinde, always looking for Radharani. You never find them. Where is Krishna? So, and it is described by the Acharya that this youth that she bathed in it, the lake of youth, it's so attractive that all the cupids, they want it to become youthful. They pray to Srimati Radharani, please give us the youth that you have, the same kind of youth. And then in evening, she takes bath into the lake of beauty, bodily luster. And in this lake, it is described, Srimati Radharani bathes, and there are also two more qualities, which is a shyness and humility. And it is described that all the queens of Dwaraka, they see Srimati, they envy her. It's all there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Rukmini, she wants to be as beautiful as a Srimati Radharani. They don't possess the same beauty as her. That's why we saw on the screen, Mohini is the most enchanting creature, even more than Krishna himself. So this is a few glimpses. When we perform selfless service to another devotee with humility, then she becomes very attracted. And immediately she gives the mercy. There is a pastime of Rupa Goswami when he was together with Sanatana Goswami, and they were very poor, very hungry. And then Rupa Goswami, he said, today I want to cook a feast for you. Out of the blue, he wanted to cook a feast for Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami told, you know, this, I think, you know, too much sun on his head, you know, because, you know, he doesn't have anything. How is he going to cook a feast for me? Of course, he didn't say too much sun on his head. I'm saying that. But he said, you know, how can you cook a feast for me? You don't have anything. We have nothing. But Rupa Goswami had this selfless desire to serve Sanatana Goswami. And so he went searching, begging for some foodstuffs. And he met this young girl that provided this wonderful feast for both of them. So when he came back to Sanatana, I said, you see, look, there's a nice feast for you here. And Sanatana Goswami said, where did you get all this from? He said, Rupa Goswami said, there was a little girl, she provided everything. And Sanatana Goswami said, you made an apparat, you took service from Srimati Radharani. Why Srimati Radharani came to provide everything? Because he saw the selfless mood of Rupa Goswami. So when you want to sincerely please another devotee, even if you don't have the means, then Radharani will provide it. So this is wonderful. the selfless mood, that's what actually attracts her. And that's what she presents to Krishna, the selfless mood of the devotees. So we just spoke a few things about this, and we ask if there is any questions that we can talk a little bit more, or any comments.